I'm Allison Keyes, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Michelle Martin is away. In a time that sometimes seems long ago and far away, when African pendants and cries of black consciousness ruled the day on the radio, hip-hop was born. It's a style of music originally devoted to the uplift and education of the masses. It embodied everything from anger to celebration of the neighborhoods of the nation's cities, and it embraced the voices of strong women who had something important to say. Women like Dana Owens, a.k.a. Queen Latifah, heard here in Ladies First.
The ladies will kick it, the rhyme it is wicked. Those that don't know how to be pros get evicted. A woman could bear you, break you, take you. Now it's time to rhyme. Can you relate to a sister dope enough to make you holler and scream?
Hey, yo, let me take it from here, queen.
As the genre gained popularity and drew big money, the queens and homegirls of hip-hop gave way to performers with more overtly sexual images. Rappers like Lil' Kim told critics that change was strictly business because sex sells. But the sex became a formula, forcing some female fans and MCs to choose between the image and the message. Music taste changed, sales dropped, and in 2005, the category of Best Female Rapper was dropped from the Grammy Awards. But the female MCs, like platinum-selling MC and producer Missy Elliott and Grammy-winning performer Lauryn Hill, say don't get it twisted, they're not going anywhere. Documentarian Ava DuVernay presents her film, My Mic Sounds Nice, A Truth About Women and Hip-Hop Tonight on cable channel BET. DuVernay joins us along with another guest, the legendary Grammy-nominated artist, rapper, and entertainer, Lana Michelle Moore, better known as MC Light.
The word ultimate, I'm here to take the title, but I had a little trouble, hard with my rubber, but I got rid of those who tried to rock me. Light is here, no one can stop me. I am the light.
We should note that one of MC Light's diaries is now in a Smithsonian Institution exhibit about hip-hop. Thank you for joining us, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Ava, I have to say, the documentary seems something like an ode, almost to an era-long past, is it?
Oh, it's a love letter. It's a love letter to the art of the female MC. It's a love letter to women in hip-hop, whether they be DJs or MCs or graffiti artists, dancers, executives even. It's really time that we look at these sisters and give them their due.
Ms. Light, I know you've been around all in this from the beginning. Was hip-hop ever truly equal? In other words, was it ever based strictly on an MC's skills and not on your gender?
Oh, boy, that's an interesting question. I don't believe so. I think it was always your female MC, you know, not just looked upon as just an MC. But you could always, oh, you good for a female MC, though.
Right. But only for a female, not in your own right as an MC who was stepping to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're going to ask a couple of the male MCs and, you know, I sometimes make their list as, you know, one of the 5 to 10 best MCs ever. But I think it's just some very isolated incidents.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, early on, I mean, women were a big part of this battle game. I mean, why did that change? And I would love for Ms. Light to answer first and then Ava.
I don't know that I can agree with that. I think from the beginning, it's always never been enough of us.
Okay.
To this date, I don't believe Def Jam ever held on to two at one time. They always switched out. You know, first it was Nikki D, then it was The Boss, and then it might have been somewhere in between there, but then came Foxy, and then, you know, so they only did one at a time. And that period of time was probably the late 80s to the mid-90s. But we've always been trying to stand our ground and have more on the front line. It's just, you know, opportunities haven't been available.
Ava, what do you think?
Well, I mean, definitely the late 80s to the early 90s, as Light said, was the golden era of hip-hop overall. And definitely during that time you saw, you know, good numbers of women comparatively, about 45 or so women signed to major labels at that time, recording, touring, making music videos on the radio. And there's been a drastic drop-off to the point where we're at 2010, and there are about 3 women signed to major labels at this point.
And so, wow, are there even that many?
There are 3, yeah. 3 signed to major labels, Nicki Minaj, Trina, and a new woman named Diamond, who just signed to Jive.
And so, and what's important to know about both of those is that they may be signed ultimately to a major, but they came by way of an independent. So mm-hmm. it's not like that record label taking a big gamble saying, oh, well, we're going to sign this artist. What they're doing is making someone else do the work, and then they're reaping the benefit. So it's not even like it was back in the day being signed to a major artist.
In other words, Light, it's not like they're going out looking for female
right.
MCs.
Right.
Do they have any interest? I mean, they're all through the documentary, people were saying women don't sell, women don't sell. I mean, is that really true?
You want to take that, Ava?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the answer that all of the executives that we interviewed gave, that the industry changed and ultimately that women didn't sell. I mean, we have examples of women selling, you know, from whether it's Missy, who's the most commercially successful female rap artist of all time,
right.
to Lauren, to Foxy and Kim. I mean, there are instances. But the theory that's given is comparatively to their male counterparts, the sales are not robust enough to warrant the money that's spent on grooming, developing, and keeping a female artist out. There are glam squads that they point to, the hair, makeup, and styling, other needs. Some of the women that we interview say that's hogwash. And so that's what the documentary explores, the different reasons, theories behind it. The bottom line is we are where we are. There are very few women on the radio anymore. And so if you want to hear a female MC, you've got to kind of mine the underground. There's some great pearls there, great gems, women that are doing amazing things in that space, but ultimately they're not in the mainstream.
Ava, I'm going to come back to both the glam and the underground in a second, but I'm curious, who is buying the CDs currently of the three women who are out there on the labels?
Well, Trina is one of the women. She's been out for 12 years. She's a rapper out of the Miami area. She has a very kind of sexual image, and she has a fan base that's largely regional and predominantly male.
Mm-hmm.
This is who she appeals to. And we interview her in the documentary, and she talks about the fact that this was her strategy, that this is how you sell records. You have to be sexy. Men want sexy, and that's what she gives them, and she's been around for 12 years doing just that. There's also Diamond, the new woman. She kind of fits in that mold of a kind of a sexy image. And then, of course, Nicki Minaj, who's kind of the MC of the moment. I think part of the reason why people are turning their attention to the lack of female MCs is the rise of Nicki Minaj,
mm-hmm.
a woman that's incredibly popular right now and basically is kind of standing alone on the airwaves. Her fan base, largely male and very young.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes. We're speaking with documentarian Ava DuVernay about her film, My Mic Sounds Nice, A Truth About Women in Hip Hop, and lyricist and rapper MC Light. Light, you made an interesting point about the power and influence of male rappers who have these scantily clad women in their videos, and that kind of makes it hard for the people that watch those videos to think of women as having the brain to have something to say that they want
right.
to listen to.
You know, it's so funny. When you first asked me, the first thing that came to mind, and I wanted to completely keep it music,
mm-hmm.
but I read an article way long ago about Robert Redford was at that time, I think, on a couple of dates and, you know, dating some people, and he dated Jane Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
And Jane Fonda said that Robert Redford told her, it's always great for a woman not to say everything she knows.
Wow.
To show up. That's the history of our life, you know? Like, it's so much better when we just don't speak.
As long as we're wearing red lipstick.
Yeah, and Chuck D said it best. It's like, really, people, what's being sold is like lips and hips and TNA in a bottle. It's like they don't want anything, you know, that has to do with making them look at themselves or correct some things that may be wrong. Or so, yes, to answer your question, it becomes, you know, eye candy and much better to have. And I think, I don't know if I did in the documentary, but I liken it to soul food that leaves the hood. When you're in the mall, most of the seasoning goes out. Like,
right.
you're like, okay, I'm really going to have to travel all the way up to that spot to get the food because it just doesn't taste the same. And that's pretty much where we are with hip-hop in general. And then also that part that involves the female MC is that ever since, you know, Missy, who's innovative, has hit the scene and she and Timbaland came up with this crazy dance sound. This is for my people, this, you know, it's like, oh my God, this can really happen. Then after that point, it was a whole bunch of people, you know, built on sort of the blueprint that Missy came from, which was, you know, which is Nelly Furtado and Fergie and all the rest of them. So now when a black female hip-hop artist comes out, she has to be able to compete with Gwen Stefani, Fergie, and all of the rest of those pop acts that have somehow merged themselves into the hip-hop world via a hip-hop producer.
So if current rappers like Trina and Nicki Minaj are embracing that very sexual image, aren't they kind of buying into that program?
I think what they're doing, and not just them, but the new MC, is realizing this is a business. Like, it's become a business. And you will have, with the corporate structure, you have people who deal with business all day, and then you have people who are grassroots who are showing up at the YMCA and the Girls and Boys Club. It's two different mindsets. So in hip-hop, you have people that look at it as a business. Trina is very right to say. That's what men like. I mean, that's what a lot of our hip-hop magazines, it's no longer Word Up or Rap Masters. It's these other hip-hop magazines that cater to just that. They have automobiles, they have women who have barely anything on, and they have men talking about hip-hop. Like, so female MCs are, I mean, excuse me, women are not buying female MC hip-hop. Mm-hmm. I don't believe they are, because there's nothing for them to grasp onto.
Ava, let's take a listen to Lauryn Hill. People in your documentary had a lot to say about her.
The second verse is dedicated to the man. All concerned with his rims and his Timbs and his women. Him and his men. Come in the club, I come to dance. Don't care who that your fan, Papa Yang.
Like you got yang.
Let's not pretend. The one to pack pissed out by the waist, man. Crissed out by the casement. Still the name of his basement. The pretty face man. Claiming that they did a bid, man. Need to take care of their 3 or 4 kids.
You know, a lot of people in the documentary, Ava, talked about Lauryn Hill as if she left and took the entire female talent in hip-hop with her. Although you've just said that there are some current women on the underground. But is that overreaching her influence?
I know. It was so strange. As I asked the questions about Lauryn and I went back and looked at the footage, every single person that we interviewed spoke about her in the past tense. Lauryn was this. She was beautiful. She was the jewel of hip-hop. She was, you know, and really, as we put the footage together, it's an emotional part of the film to kind of talk about her legacy and just the emotion that she evokes when you say her name. We interviewed 35 people, and literally every single one went into their own world, and their eyes glaze over when they talk about Lauryn. And, you know, that's the question. I mean, she does leave the game. She stops actively recording, performing, and appearing. And, you know, the question is, did that signal the kind of turning away of that kind of music and the embracing of the more hypersexual image? I mean, was her departure the cause for the industry to say, you know what, she was the only one that could do that. She's gone. Let's embrace what's left. And so that all of those arguments are what we present there. The interesting thing is I just flew up to San Francisco and saw Lauryn at Rock the Bells. Mm-hmm. She performed a very rare performance in San Francisco last weekend and literally blew the roof off of the place.
Like, I actually want to go back to something that you did that always made me love you from the beginning, because you were one of the first female MCs that called out all of the boys for their crudeness and their violence. What was it made you say, you know what, I'm doing my thing, but I have to say that this is not cool?
I was insulted. Like, really, I think for a long time, and I even watched an interview that I did with Arsenio Hall, and he said, well, you know, how do you feel about the B word? And I was like, well, they're not talking to me. And years later, yeah, no, they are. They are talking to me. They're talking to all of us, because I am my sister, and my sister is me. So my perspective is very different from then. But also, I just remember the first time I was in an L.A. club and I heard a song that had, you know, B, 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 and it was by Snoop Dogg. And I walked over to the DJ and I was like, what is this? And he told me, and I was like, can you change it? Because I'm offended right now. And he did. But we're a long way from there. You know, it's kind of become the norm.
What do you think, Light, about Snoop and some of the male rap that is out there? Is it still as insulting as it was in the past? Has it mitigated at all?
I think we've become somewhat numb to it, you know, because I can't say when Drop It Like It's Hot comes on that I scurry from the dance floor. I'm still there, you know. And part of it is the music. The music is incredible, and I think we've learned to sort of like not pay attention to the words. And that's what hip-hop is missing. Like, Drake stepped on the scene is making so much noise because you can actually hear what he's saying. He's not hiding behind a beat, but he wants you to, like, listen and understand that he actually has thoughts that sort of merge together. It's not like these sporadic, you know, line after line, and then at the end you're like, what did he just say, or what did I just hear?
Mm-hmm.
I feel somewhat disappointed still in what I hear.
Ava, what do you think? Is there music out there now that doesn't offend you to listen to?
Well, there's an incredible woman named Ty Phoenix, and she has an album called Half Woman, Half Amazing, which is amazing.
Yo, subliminal, I played you like my Fender Rose. It's commendable, I'm lending hope and making women dough. You like to talk trash, you need to roll back. You get your jaw crushed, right here.
There's a woman named Medusa in Los Angeles. Tons of great music out.
License plate got a Cali frame. Rep LA with West Coast slang. Don't mean that I bang. I gotta bang, my beats is banging. License plate got a Cali frame.
There's a woman, actually a white woman, out of Detroit. Her name is Invincible Detroit. She is incredible.
Really?
Oh my gosh, she makes your head spin.
Man, I hate, but I hate bigots, especially the ones who make 8 digits. His maid underpaid and watches making a steak dinner on the rim of the tears. He wonders why the taste bitter. Caught the itis, heavy eyelids, sleep too deep to wake him. In his dream state, clean plates and his feet are aching.
They're out there. I hope people kind of watch the doc, pick up some names, go on iTunes, Google these women. You know, they've all got Facebooks. They're all very social media savvy. Their music is readily available. There's really no excuse if you say that you miss women in hip hop. We're telling you they're there. If you really miss them, go support them and, you know, help their voices be heard.
Ava DuVernay's documentary, My Mic Sounds Nice, A Truth About Women in Hip Hop, airs on BET tonight. She joined us from our studios at NPR West. Lyricist and rapper MC Light joined us from Los Angeles. Thank you, ladies, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll bet that I did it. My fingerprints are still on you. How many times I gotta warn you about the light? It'll blind your sight, but the rhythm will still guide you through the night.
And that's our show for today. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes. Let's talk more tomorrow.